Welcome to episode 1 of the Early Learning in 5 podcast. I'm Scott Bizet, and I'll be your host throughout the series. The aim of the podcast is to provide a platform for guests to share their insights, experience, and expertise around a variety of topics and different curricular areas. It will also provide opportunities for exploration of the interesting and valuable things that are happening across the service. Our focus for episode 1 is storytelling. And joining us to share her insight, experience, and passion is Aileen Allen. Aileen is a partner provider development officer who has spent over 40 years working within a diverse range of different early years roles. She's a well-known figure within the Fife early years scene and has been fundamental to the development and delivery of a number of popular training courses, including delivering a quality curriculum and Nature Kindergarten. However, she's also widely recognised as a brilliant and passionate storyteller. In this episode, Aileen discusses where her passion for stories comes from, why storytelling is such an important and beneficial part of children's early years experience, and draws upon her own experiences to provide advice and encouragement for those who may find storytelling a daunting experience. Let's join the conversation. Aileen, welcome to the very first episode of the Early Learning in 5 podcast.
Thanks very much for inviting me along, Scott. I'm really quite excited about this.
Well, we're excited to have you. So, over the years, you and I have worked together on many different projects that have either involved or addressed the topic of storytelling. And something that's always been abundantly clear to me is that you love stories and that you're incredibly passionate about telling them. So, when we decided that the first podcast would focus on storytelling, it was pretty much a no-brainer who the first guest was going to be. Before we discuss storytelling, within the context of early years in particular, perhaps we can explore your story about where Aileen's passion and love for stories comes from.
Okay, well, where do I begin? I suppose for me, we begin when I was very, very young. I was really, really lucky to have a really strong bond with my grandparents and my granddad in particular. And my granddad, I suppose the storytelling bit very much comes from him. My granddad was a wonderful storyteller, a wonderful oral storyteller who told us stories about his childhood, about all the different antics he would get up to. And often my granddad would be telling stories and couldn't finish the story for laughing. they were always so funny. And I remember I used to sit in my granddad's house at his knee, you know, cuddled into his knee, looking up at him, willing him to tell me that same story over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And one of his favourite stories was about his pet lamb. He had a pet lamb called Dougal, who used to meet him out of school. When my granddad came out of school, Dougal was waiting for him and they would walk up the road. My granddad didn't come from a big town. My granddad came from a very, very small village just outside Dunfermline called Glasodie, a village that no longer exists. Well, I think for a long time, the only house that did exist in Glasodie was the house that my granddad was born in.
Wow.
So lots and lots of stories from there. But Dunfermline and the history of Dunfermline is very much stories that get told in our family throughout the generations. And my granddad very much wanted us to learn about the stories about Andrew Carnegie and that local history that means so much to us. They were just amazing things to hear about. And that, I think, is how our family history has very much been able to keep alive. It is those bit about, I remember my mum, you know, my granddad told my mum about these stories. My granddad told me about them. My mum's told my daughter about them. So our family history and the history of, my granddad's side of the family, the Reeds in Dunfermline, is synonymous through storytelling. So, that's where the ultimate, the crux of it, that's where my passion comes from, my granddad.
Yeah. So clearly, these were really magical experiences that have had a lasting impact on you. In fact, it was quite magical even just hearing about that, and especially the wonderful connection that you had with your granddad. And I suppose, whilst I was listening to you, in my mind, I was relating it back to my own experiences, and I think some of the listeners will have done that as well. Do you think that the magic that we associate with stories has a lot to do with the quality of the relationship that we share with the storyteller, And equally, do you think the relationship with the storyteller is sometimes enhanced by those positive experiences of hearing a story?
Do you know, absolutely, Scott. I think they go hand in hand. I think, do you know, I think very, very fondly of those times where I would share something special with my granddad. And that connection with my granddad. My granddad was so influential in my life. He gave me many of my first experiences and the things I did with my granddad. So absolutely, the fact that he, the way he told his stories, the way he brought things to life, you know, you talk about the magic, and it was like he was pulling me in to this wonderful, magical thing, and I could visualise his childhood.
Yeah.
I could see it all. So absolutely, that connection with my granddad and the relationship I had with him, very much, and because he loved stories and because he was great at telling stories, made me want more of that magic.
Yeah.
And more of those, you know, just really wonderful sort of warm feelings that you get through storytelling. Yep. And listening to stories. So whether that be losing yourself in a book or whether it be, you know, just losing yourself in somebody's voice.
Yeah.
So absolutely hearing those stories and, you know, very much, I had a strong connection with my granddad. And that's why I enjoyed his stories. But then at the same time, then because of that, I had an even greater bond with my granddad.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not just about family. I mean, in primary school, we used to love it if our teacher was off sick. You know, it was always, yes. Why? Because the head teacher would come in and he would tell us stories. And they were from books. It wasn't oral stories he told us. He told us a story from books. And, you know, he was an amazing storyteller because he put his character voices on. That voice just pulled you into the story. Yeah. He read us all the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe series. And he was an amazing storyteller. And you got to see that head teacher in a different light because he was lulling you into this, you know, amazing fantasy world that the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is. And very much, you know, he was amazing in the fact of he would stop it where you were like clambering for more.
On the cliffhanger.
It was that, yeah, absolutely. On that cliffhanger and on that, I'm going to learn more next time. And we were like,
When's next time going to be?
Because it wasn't a regular thing that happened. And so you were like really champing at the bit. And so often what it would do, it'd make you want to go and get the book yourself.
Of course, yeah.
And then become that book, you know, reader.
I think personally, looking back, when I was young, which was some time ago, I had a really similar experience with our head teacher. Being in maybe primary one or primary two, our usual teacher was absent, was ill or something like that. And we thought, right, we're going to get a substitute teacher. But suddenly we learned that it was going to be Mr. Binning, the head teacher, was going to come and look after the class. Now, initially, we were terrified because it was the head teacher.
Absolutely,
and he seemed so tall when you were that age. You know, he could have been at least 7 foot tall, and you were all really kind of nervous about it. But I remember that first time that he came in, and he just told his oral stories all day, though. That was it, just making them up on the spot, and you got a good few hours. And you, when you went out for a break, it was kind of, well, can we not just stay? Because we'd rather listen to you.
But that changed
the dynamic of your relationship and attitude towards Mr. Binning, the head teacher, moving forward.
Absolutely.
Because every time that, you know, going through the rest of primary school, if your teacher was off, you thought, is it going to be? And there was this, you know, an audible silence fell over the room when it wasn't him. You know, this you could hear the disappointment in the class. But absolutely, that kind of magic of hearing those stories from that figure that really draws you in and leaves you wanting more and gets you really excited and being lost in that kind of imaginative world. It's absolutely incredible.
It definitely is incredible. And I think it is something that has shaped me into adulthood and beyond, you know. So, I really appreciate those influential figures that I've been lucky to have in my life around the topic of storytelling.
So personally, when I think about hearing stories as a child, I associate it with really positive feelings and memories. The excitement of getting ready for a story, the happiness, the enjoyment that comes from, as we were saying, having your attention captured, and perhaps this real sense of cosiness and comfort. You know, that whole getting settled down and just getting in the zone and getting ready to listen. There's a certain quality to those memories that I still experience whenever I open a book today, or whenever I hear someone share a story, just like you did a few moments ago. You could probably see my face sitting there, kind of, you know, really involved in your story. Do you think that having positive early experiences can affect our relationships and our attitude towards stories, towards reading, and I suppose even storytelling as we move through life?
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with that, in the fact of, as I say, I was lucky. I don't know any other life other than it being full of stories and storytelling and books. Do you know, and as an adult, stories are really important to me. Do you know, busy work life, busy family life means I maybe don't read as much as I used to in the past, where I would maybe sometimes have 3 or 4 books on the go at the one time, but they're still really important to me. And I still always read, maybe not for hours and hours and end, but I do always read. So those early experiences that I had through the oral storytelling of my granddad, through, you know, being given books as presents as a child, really helped me to understand the impact of books and stories that they can really have on somebody. Do you know, one of my most favourite books as a child was Heidi. I loved the book Heidi. And I think I've lost count how many times I've read Heidi as a child. I would finish it and then start it again. And I would just, it was a well-thumbed book. Yeah. And it fell apart, basically, because read it.
We've all got one of those books.
So many times. Yeah, we all do have one of those books, don't we? For me, when I was a child, it was Heidi. And then, so that importance of having that book, that physical book, on the bookshelf beside my bed, you know, was really, really, really important to me. I could go and lose myself in that. I could, you know, it allowed me to really calm my emotions down. So reading books would really help me to do that kind of thing. To be lost in fantasy allowed me to sort of regulate and all those sort of things. But then when I had my own children and my own child, you know, I knew that books would be surrounding my parenting style, I suppose, that I would surround Amy in books, and that we would always have, you know, we went regular trips to the library, we, you know, bought books, we had bookshelves in the house, so that books were a really important part of my parenting style, I suppose, and surrounding Amy with books. You know, we always had that bedtime story time together. You know, of getting ready. You spoke about, you know, that getting ready for a story and
getting in the zone.
And Amy and I would, you know, she would curry in the bed, and we would prop the book up on the pillow. She'd be lying on her tummy, I'd be lying on my tummy beside her, and we would read stories together and share that really magical time and really sort of develop that close relationship with her through storytelling. Do you know, in our family as well, those stories that my granddad told that I spoke about earlier on today, those stories are in a way like a rite of passage in our family.
Yeah.
When you start hearing these family tales and the Dunfermline tales, every member of my extended family knows the stories of Andrew Carnegie in the background of that, because that's just what we do in our family. So being able to then share that with Amy, that shared the stories that my granddad told me, that was that rite of passage into the family. So just for me and my relationship with my granddad and that strength of relationship that I had, I felt the relationship I had with Amy was strengthened, and that bond really grew right into adulthood.
Yeah.
My daughter Amy is still... I would actually say she's more avid than me. Yeah. Amy regularly reads, and she often targets herself with how many books she's going to read over a year. So it's been very common for Amy to read in excess of 100, 150 books in a year.
Wow.
Because she just loves that, getting lost in a book.
Wow, incredible.
Okay? Totally getting lost. I suppose one of my favourite things that really highlights that is... when Amy was younger, she was probably about 4 or 5, we started introducing chapter books. Mm-hmm. So moving away from the picture books that we would tell into chapter books. And Roald Dahl books were one of our favourites. We had them all. And I remember reading the BFG tour. And anybody that knows the BFG and knows all those strange mm-hmm. words and things that are within that story, we would put all the character voices on and we would read all these things together. So fast forward many years to a few years ago when the BFG was launched in film.
Yeah. Spielberg made it, didn't he?
Yep, absolutely, Amy said to me, "Mum, do you fancy going to the pictures with me?" And I was like, "What do you want to go and see?" She went, "I want to go and see the BFG." And I was like, "All right, okay then, come on, let's go." So we trotted off to the pictures. You know, mother and daughter, daughter in her probably in her late 20s, me a good bit older. And we were sitting in there surrounded by children and we were the, you know, sort of the only two adults sort of in the together. And the film started and it got to the point where the BFG spoke. And I think from that point, it was this digging the elbow in my side. And in a way, it took me right back because the little voice was like, "Mum, Mum." And I was like, "What is it?" And she was like, "That's just like the voice that you used to put on when we read this story." And it was that bit of, you know, that connection, that fleeting moment in time that we had shared years ago, probably 20 plus years previously, how that was still so impactful and so important as we were as two adults sitting watching the film. So, yeah. Absolutely. That question you asked me around, you know, do I think those positive early experiences affect your relationship? Yeah, they absolutely do.
And thanks for sharing that story, because it really is just testimony to the power that answers the question exactly, doesn't it? That kind of power that stories can have on you throughout your life, whether it's through memories, whether it's through your willingness or desire to engage with stories. It's just incredible.
It definitely is incredible, as I say. And I will reiterate this all the time. I feel so lucky to have had stories as a central part of my life.
And there you have it, folks. An extra bonus feature is that Aileen Allen was actually the inspiration for the voice in the feature film of the BFG.
I'm not sure about that, but that's lovely to think like that.
So far, our discussion has mainly evolved around the magical and the positive experiences with stories, especially with those inspiring figures that we just mentioned. However, I'm aware that many children coming into early year settings may not necessarily have had those kinds of experiences or perhaps the opportunities to engage positively with stories.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. Do you know, I've worked in early years for probably too many years than I care to mention, many years. And over the time, obviously, I've come into contact with lots of different families with different home lives, etc. And you are right, there are many, many children that we come in contact with within our early year settings where, you know, there isn't a lot of storytelling or books. That could be down to the fact of the parents not having that positive experience in developing those connections with stories. When they were young, you know, they maybe didn't have that exposure to the storytelling. And so a lot of children that we come and we deal with very much, sometimes storytelling in the nursery is the first experience that they'll have from that. Do you know, we know, through the previous questions and in the previous conversations we've had around storytelling, that, you know, I love storytelling. Storytelling is so important for multiple reasons. And the reason that I do love that storytelling is because I recognise what I get from it. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to experience that because it's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so... it shapes your character.
You know, see the impact that it has on you.
You know, I know, I, as I said before, I can't imagine my life without stories and without books. So to not have that experience, I want everybody to have that experience and share and experience what I've experienced, because I think it does build character. It does build you as a person. I really do think as well, though, do you know, 40 years in early years has been a huge career. And a career that I think I felt so privileged to be that, you know, we spoke about that influential character,
being that person,
to be that person. That's a privilege in somebody's life, to be that person. And I think, you know, we are in that position where we can introduce books and that love of stories to people who may not have had it otherwise. And I think for us to be able to break that cycle, and to, not only for the children, but to, you know, to work with families, so to work with the parents, to work with grandparents around, you know, engaging with stories and through, you know, through book bug sessions or whatever you're wanting to do, playing stay sessions, you can see how those books and stories, if you open that door for parents and encourage them to read to their children, the difference it can have and the impact it can have on their life.
So I guess, building on that last question, equally, there will be some practitioners that perhaps never had a positive storytelling experience growing up. To what extent do you think that that can affect someone's confidence when telling stories? And also, what advice would you give someone who perhaps feels unconfident, uncertain, or anxious when it comes to storytelling?
Okay, so you're right. I have met, over my years, many people who say that exact thing, Scott. In delivering the Art of Storytelling course a few years ago, part of it was talking about that the impact a story that you'd heard or a book that you'd read had on you. And people would come up to me and say, do you know, I don't read, I've not had that experience. I can't remember having books in my house as a child. And so absolutely that is the case. And I think, you know, you could see in some of those individuals who spoke to me about that, that I don't even know if I want to go as far as saying fear, but that lack of confidence, that anxiety around telling stories. But it's really important to realise, and I think this is one of the key things that if I could tell somebody starting out in an early years career, don't look at people and think, I'll never be that person. Okay? Even me, even that people who have positive experiences, whose storytelling and stories have surrounded them for their entire life, can still struggle with storytelling. It can really be a nerve-wracking experience. There is an art, and like any art and any skill, that can develop over time. You know, it doesn't necessarily come naturally for everybody or for a lot of people, or even for the majority of people. I would actually say natural storytelling is quite a rare thing. And so the majority of people have to learn about that, and they have to experiment with the type of storyteller they are. They have to, you know, practice. They have to really hone those skills to become what appears to be a natural storyteller, but in actual fact has taken years of practice, of skill, of you know, years and years to develop something that looks very natural.
And I think it's that whole sometimes getting your reps in, as they would say, is obviously we've spoken before about things like comedy and magic, you know, a magician, it looks absolutely seamless. You don't see what's going on behind the scenes, but that has taken a huge amount of experimentation, figuring out what works, what doesn't work, trial, error, or in the case of being a comedian, sometimes nobody actually laughing at your jokes. But these things do take a lot of experimentation. I guess what you mentioned there about confidence is that if you've never had a huge amount of experience with stories, or even if you have, you know, you've had really positive experiences growing up, you've maybe never actually been exposed to actually having to tell a story, especially in front of a group of children, which is, can be a different experience from sharing a story with adults.
It can be quite a brutal audience.
And I always think that through my own experience of doing public speaking, delivering training, workshops, so on and so forth, confidence, I've always found, comes from familiarity. The more familiar you are with the situation, the more confident you feel in that situation. It really can be a case of just embracing the discomfort until something becomes familiar, until you start to become really comfortable being in that place.
Absolutely. And do you know, you don't compare yourself. You absolutely should not compare yourself to others. I remember many years ago, we had a large group story, and there was a student in the nursery, and I was telling a story to this, it was probably 20-odd children, if I'm going to be honest. And I was telling the story, and at the end of it, she actually came up to me and said, "How do you do that?" And I said to her, "Sorry, how do I do what?" And she was like, "You could hear a pin drop." She goes, "Every single child was staring at you, and you had their full attention." But you know what? I think at that point, I had been in early years for probably 30 years. So I had 30 years of experience, 30 years of practice, 30 years of, you know, over time, tweaking and changing and adding bits and pieces and, you know, making sure that I do have and I've really sort of honed those skills to hook children in and know the type of thing. But absolutely, it was because I knew the story as well. Nothing was going to surprise me about that story. I knew every turn in the story. I knew every character in the story. So there was no surprises there for me. But, you know, I wasn't always like that.
Everybody has to start somewhere, right?
Everybody has to start somewhere. So let's go way, way, way back in time to when Aileen was a wee 16-year-old. Had never been in a nursery before in my life. I really hadn't. But I had made the decision that I was going to train. Now, without giving away my age, the course then was about a nursery nurse. That's what we were called in those days. I was a nursery nurse. So I decided at 16 that I was going to leave school and go to college and be a nursery nurse, and went into my first placement. As I say, I didn't even know what the inside of a nursery looked like, let alone what was involved in that job. And I walked in on my very first day, 16, absolutely knee-shaking moment, didn't know what I was going into. And a member of staff, sort of maybe part of the way through the morning, handed me a book and said to me, "We're gathering children for story. You're on story." And I remember inside thinking, what does she mean? I'm on story. What does that mean? I have to tell a story. And I was asking, you know, panic in my head. But I remember feeling so embarrassed and so totally out of my comfort zone. And let's be honest, an audience of children can be a tough audience. They can be tough.
We spoke about Roald Dahl earlier. I watched an interview with him once where he said that, you know, it's far harder to write for children than it is to write for adults, because children like to revisit stories. Children like to, you know, there needs to be a certain rhythm to it. There's something about it has to draw children in, and they can be far harsher critics sometimes than an adult.
And I had no skills of storytelling when I was that person. And, you know, but I was very uncomfortable. I was totally out of my comfort zone. And I remember very much, I used to ask all the members of staff to go away, and I would only allow one member of staff to stay. And she was sort of maybe slightly, she was maybe in her early 20s, so closer to my age range. She was allowed to stay, but she wasn't allowed to look at me. And I remember those awful moments of, telling a story to a group of children. And but yeah, you know, so we all start somewhere. We've all had that moment of, I can't do this. But you absolutely can. You know, you absolutely can. It doesn't, it's no, it, everybody's not natural storytellers. We all have to learn that thing. So, but it absolutely is about, for me now, now if somebody handed me a book now, I'd be saying, well, actually, no, I don't know that story. Mm-hmm. So can I choose another book that I'm more familiar with?
Yeah.
Why? Because that preparation is key. Until you build up a repertoire of stories that you know really, really well, and you don't have to do that prior preparation, but until you develop that, preparing your story, knowing that what the story is going to do, what the twists and turns are, you know, so really preparing that. Read your story first, know what's coming, and yeah, just really plan it. And that's going to be a starter for 10 for you.
I think that preparation is, you know, in things like performance management, I suppose it sounds a bit corporate, but there is, you know, prior preparation prevents poor performance. But that's true. You know, I think that being prepared, though, in itself is a huge confidence booster. If you think about even going into an exam, the reason most people are really anxious about an exam is because you feel slightly underprepared, you don't know what to expect. But if you've studied and you've worked hard and you know your content, the chances are you're going to feel a lot better going in there. And I think it's the exact same with any situation that's nerve-wracking. More you prepare, the better you're going to feel when you finally
You definitely do, yeah. And that would be one of my biggest things for people. If they're starting out in this, you know, a career in early years, and they're not used to telling stories, read books.
Yep.
Read children's books. Read them beforehand, know what the story's about, know the characters and the characters' personalities. You can put a voice on and then you think, oh, he said that softly. No, I didn't. I just roared that sentence out. Do you know, if you're putting character voices on, learn about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely prepare and confidence will grow from that.
So stories are an incredibly important part of the early years experience. So much so that storytelling is a key requirement of the early years practitioner role. Perhaps you can begin to unpack why storytelling is just so important within early years.
Oh my goodness, Scott, where do I begin with that? And if I'm going to, how long do we have for this?
Not long.
Because this is huge. I suppose for me that there are a few key areas that really stand out for me from a point of view of why it's important from a developmental and learning point of view. I think the first one that everybody will think about through storytelling is the benefits from literacy skills and for language development.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about that, you know, telling those stories is going to support children's vocabulary development. They are going to acquire new language through listening to stories. We can also introduce them to really quite sophisticated language and real complex words, so that new vocabulary that we're going to be introducing there. Storytelling is also a way of children to be able to understand that structure of a story. You know, that all stories have that beginning, that middle, that end. Mm. So that's really important. I suppose, again, one of the key things thinking about literacy skills is listening.
Yep.
You know, they're listening to stories, they're listening to the tone of voice, to the pitch. So they're learning about that as well. So vast. And there's lots of other things around literacy and language development we could talk about. But thinking as well about like health and wellbeing benefits.
Yeah.
That's huge. And a lot of them we've already spoken about today. We've already spoken about, you know, it develops relationships.
Of course.
It encourages those really strong bonds between people. It also, we spoke a lot about cosiness, quiet, comfortable, all of those things. I spoke as well, you know, if we remember talking about when I read a story as a child, how I often, you know, if I was feeling angry, I would go and read a story because it would support me and really help me. I didn't know then I was regulating my emotions, you know. But I know now as an early years practitioner, that's what I was doing. So really being able to, you know, develop that emotional literacy.
Of course, yeah.
Around that, you know, really understanding the emotions that people in different characters are feeling and what that looks like and then what that feels like. So I think those sort of things as well are really supported through storytelling. understanding the different people, understanding different characters, understanding different cultures.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That are in within our society can all be told through storytelling. As well as, you know, things like the key features of like brain development. So thinking about, you know, that cognitive development, thinking about supporting children's attention span. You know, maybe at the beginning they can only listen to a very short story. Yeah. But maybe as things go on, children want those meatier stories. Yeah. And some of our children in early year settings can very much be sitting for quite significant periods of time if it's the right story for them at the right time. But really, you know, I've spoken a lot about fantasy, but going into the world and that curiosity around the different things in books can absolutely be supported through storytelling. I suppose to encompass it, I don't know if I can encompass it, other than stories are absolutely an excellent way of supporting learning in all areas of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So if you're even thinking about incorporating numeracy concepts, maths concepts, things around those social subjects, so maybe society and different people in different societies, RME, so thinking about those relationships, you know, being kind and nurturing to each other, and science concepts as well, can all be done through storytelling. I suppose, if you want me to try and put this in a nutshell, I don't know if I can, because I think really the benefits from hearing stories are absolutely almost infinite, Scott.
Yeah. So essentially, stories are a really powerful vehicle through which we can cover and begin to incorporate so many different benefits and curricular areas.
Yeah, that's right, Scott, yeah.
So apologies, by the way, for putting you on the spot and asking you to capture something infinite within a nutshell. So whilst the benefits of stories may be infinite, our podcast unfortunately has a finite amount of time, and we've only managed to actually scratch the surface of storytelling. Aileen, could I possibly convince you to come back for another episode where we can perhaps begin to think about how we can support some of those incredible benefits, maybe share some of your top tips, and perhaps discuss the art of storytelling in greater depth?
Do you know, Scott, I would love to do that. This has been a pleasure having a chat with you today about storytelling, one of my major passions. So, yes, I would love to come back.
Excellent. That was a really easy sell. Aileen, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for sharing your story. And thank you to everyone for tuning in to the very first episode of the Early Learning in 5 podcast. We'll see you next time.